To Get It podcast. I'm doing a solo episode this week because Julia is actually on a date. And if you're watching the video version, I'm in a different area of my apartment and the lighting's not the best. It's a really, really gloomy day today. It has been pouring rain all day, but I kind of love it because it's just been the coziest day and I had the day off today. Well, sort of. Like, I had the day off from the salon, so I've just been home doing computer work, working from home, doing like YouTube, social media stuff. But it's been the perfect day to just like, you know, cozy up on the couch. It actually feels like fall here today, which is nice. And speaking of being cozy, I'm wearing the cropped hoodie from our merch line. This is still available and we are planning on coming out with some new merch. It'll probably release closer to the holidays. We already have like the ideas. We just have to actually create the designs and get them up on the website. But actually, by the time this episode is going to be up, as you're listening to this, I'm going to be in Italy. So I have a lot of traveling coming up, and Julia, if you guys listened to last week's episode, is closing on her house in a couple days and she's going to start her moving process. So we both are just going to be really busy the month of October. So probably by like mid to end of November, we should have some new merch stuff, which will be really nice. You know, if you want to get yourself something as like a holiday gift or give it to a friend or something. But I love this cropped hoodie. It's so soft and cozy. And I have my iced chai tea latte here. So yeah, thinking if there's any little like housekeeping things or updates before I jump into the topic. Merch coming soon. Make sure that you are subscribed to our YouTube channel. We are so close. We need 3,000 watch hours in order for us to be able to monetize on YouTube. And we are a little over 2,500. So we're so close. So please, even if you prefer listening to audio normally, just go give our episodes a watch on YouTube. Even if you've listened to them already, just kind of let them play through in the background. Just so we can get to our 3,000 watch hour goal. Oh, another little thing off the top of my head, I haven't talked to Julia about this yet, but I think it would be really fun if we played some audio messages from our listeners. So if you guys just, I don't know, maybe have like a specific topic that you want to talk about, something that you want to vent about that's been on your mind lately, or something that you just want our input and our advice on, you can record a voice memo and email it to girlswhogetitpod@gmail.com. That will be in the description and the show notes. Or you can also DM us on Instagram @girlswhogetitpodcast if you're following us on there, whatever is easier for you. And yeah, as long as you're okay with us playing it on the podcast, I think that would be a really fun segment to add. Maybe not for every single episode, but maybe, you know, we can do episodes here and there where we just respond to some voice memos. And it would be so nice to hear your voices too. But this week, I wanted to talk about love languages. This is something that I find so fascinating and I am really passionate about it. And I think we've talked about it a little bit, like we've touched on it here and there in previous episodes, but we never did like a full episode diving into it. And I just thought that it would be something fun to talk about. And I actually have the book, The Five Love Languages, The Secret to Love That Lasts by Gary Chapman. He is the original person that created like the concept of the five love languages. But the idea is that there are five basic love languages, and a love language is the way that you feel loved. And it can also be the way that you express love to someone else. And they can be different. Like the way that you feel loved can be different from the way that you express love to others, but generally they tend to be the same. And I just think that it's so interesting to know. There is a book, I think it's like the five love languages for singles. So even if you aren't in a relationship, like, you know, I'm currently single, but being single for me is a time like, yes, of course, to focus on myself and just like live my life, do the things that I want to do, not have to compromise. But I also like to do a lot of self-work. And one of my goals is to just be a better human, be a better friend, be a better sister, a better daughter, a better partner eventually in the future. So I feel like stuff like this really helps you kind of understand yourself, understand the things that you do, why you do things the way that you do, and then that way you can, you know, either change bad behaviors or, I don't know, just be more conscious of what you bring to the table in all of your relationships. So there's actually a quiz that you can take that will help you determine what your love language is. And some people can have multiple, but you will pretty much always have one dominant love language. For me, I've done this quiz before. I'm gonna do it again though, because I am curious to see if I get different results, because the first time I did this quiz was back in like 2018. So it's been at least 5 years. And I think in the book, it says that your love language, it can change if like circumstances in your life change. But typically most people, like, your love language just stays the same throughout your entire life. But I am curious because I just feel like I'm in such a different place in my life now than when I was when I first took the quiz. But when I took it the first time, I had like one primary and then I had two that were kind of like tied for second place. But I think it's important to know all of them, all of like your top ones, because they all play a part. Recently, one of my friends, she's been dating this guy for like about 5 years or so. And she has told me that she's just like not really, I don't know, she just like they haven't had much of a sex life lately. And it's because she's just not feeling like he's expressing the love language she needs. Hers is quality time, and they just don't spend enough quality time together. Like, they don't live together. And then when they do see each other, he'll just kind of like be on his phone, or he'll just like want to put on a show, but like they don't really connect and have that like one-on-one quality time together that she needs in order to feel connected. And so she hasn't wanted to be intimate with him because she's just not feeling that connection. But his love language is physical touch, so he, you know, is trying to be intimate with her and doesn't understand what she needs in order to meet him at that same place. So that's why I say it's really interesting, and I think important to know this information. Not only know your love language, but know everyone else's love language that's in your life. Whether it's a romantic partner or just a friend or a sibling or your parents, whomever. You can find this quiz online. I will link it in the description. Okay, so let's do the quiz. And I am going to open up my notes so I can keep track of all of my responses. So the way that it works is the prompt is the same for all of these questions or all these different scenarios. The prompt is, it's more meaningful to me when. And then there's 30 sets of responses. And with each set, you have two different responses to choose from. So you pick which one out of those two you can relate to the most. And then each response has a corresponding letter next to it. So you keep track of all of the letters for the responses that you give. And then at the end, you see which letter corresponds to which love language. And then obviously, whichever one you have the most letters of is your love language. It's more meaningful to me when I receive a loving note/text/email for no special reason from my loved one, or he and I hug. I'm gonna go with hugging, because even though I do like to receive a sweet text and a note, like when somebody writes me a card with a sweet note in it, I do love that and I think that's really sweet. But if it was just one or the other, like you never hug me, but you're always giving me sweet notes, that would not be enough to satisfy me. Like, I need to hug. Like, that is more important to me. Number two, it's more meaningful to me when I can spend alone time with him, just the two of us, or he does something practical to help me out. This is so hard for me. Practical stuff is so nice, and that is such a turn on for me. But like, I do like just spending one-on-one time together. I'm gonna go with the second option, doing something practical to help me out. Number three, it's more meaningful to me when he gives me a little gift as a token of our love for each other, or I get to spend uninterrupted leisure time with him. Definitely spending leisure time. I don't really care about gifts. I mean, they, you know, can be sweet and I appreciate it, but honestly, like, I'm one of those people that when I get I like giving gifts, so that's fun for me, but when I get them, it's like, I don't know, it can be kind of awkward. So yeah, definitely I would choose leisure time over getting a gift anytime. Number four, it's more meaningful to me when he unexpectedly does something for me, like filling my car or doing the laundry, or he and I touch. Oof. Both are so good. God, I'm so torn on this one. It's interesting because I have like a different perspective now being single. I'm like, yeah, touch is great, but you could just have like a friends with benefit situation that will touch you. But when they do like nice things like that, like unexpectedly filling your car and doing your laundry, like that's really sweet. That is like, oh, that person loves me, you know? Okay, number five. It's more meaningful to me when he puts his arm around me when we're in public or he surprises me with a gift. Definitely arm around me in public. I'm a PDA kind of girl. I'm not gonna lie. I mean, I'm not gonna be making out in public or anything like inappropriate, but I love when I'm out with my partner and they put their arm around me. I love holding hands, like stuff like that. I love that so much. Number six, it's more meaningful to me when I'm around him, even if we're not really doing anything, or we hold hands. I think holding hands, because like, yes, obviously I like to just spend time with my partner, just hanging out in the same room, but like, I don't have, like, if we're doing separate things, I don't need to be in the same room as you. Okay, number seven, it's more meaningful to me when my loved one gives me a gift or I hear I love you from him. Definitely hearing I love you, because again, I mean, gifts really are like, I couldn't care less about gifts. Number eight, it's more meaningful to me when I sit close to him or I am complimented by him for no apparent reason. I don't know. Getting complimented is really nice, and I do like that. Like, it feels good, obviously, but I'm gonna go with sit close to him. Number nine, it's more meaningful to me when I get the chance to just hang out with him or I unexpectedly get small gifts from him. We already know, couldn't care less about gifts, so hanging out, definitely. Number 10, it's more meaningful to me when I hear him tell me I'm proud of you, or he helps me with a task. That's nice that you're proud of me, but like, how about you get up off your ass and like, let's do something together. Number 11, it's more meaningful to me when I get to do things with him or I hear supportive words from him. Doing things together, definitely. I feel like for me, words are definitely nice, but actions are more important to me than words. So I don't need you to tell me all these things and give me supportive words. Like, you can show me all of that through your actions, and then I don't need to hear it because I already know. Number 12, it's more meaningful to me when he does things for me instead of just talking about doing nice things, like I just said, or I feel connected to him through a hug. I'm gonna go with D. I mean, I love a good hug. That feels so good, but I think like, I don't know, just where I'm at in life right now, like, that's more what I am looking for. Like, do things, don't just talk about it. Number 13, it's more meaningful to me when I hear praise from him or he gives me something that shows he was really thinking about me. I'm gonna go with the second one this time. I know that's like gift giving, surprisingly. I just said I don't care about gifts, but because I feel like you can give a gift just for the sake of giving a gift, like, oh, look, here, I got you this material thing to cheer you up, versus like, oh, I saw this thing that I thought was funny because it like has to do with an inside joke we have and it made me think of you. Number 14, it's more meaningful to me when I'm able to just be around him or I get a back rub or massage from him. Ooh, back rub or massage 100%. Because, like, yeah, if we're just going to hang out in the same room, that's cool. But, like, if you're going to offer to rub me down, and especially at, like, after a long day of work, give me, like, a foot massage or a back rub, ooh, yes. Number 15, it's more meaningful to me when he reacts positively to something I've accomplished or he does something for me that I know he doesn't particularly enjoy. Definitely the second one. That means a lot. Because it goes to show that, like, you know, he really wants to try and he really cares and wants to meet you halfway and do the things that you like, even if he doesn't enjoy it. There's nothing worse than having a partner that's, like, just miserable and, like, I don't want to do that. Oh, I hate this. Oh, it's like, yeah, but I like it. Can you just, like, shut up and just pretend and, like, let me enjoy something for a change? Number 16, it's more meaningful to me when he and I kiss frequently or I sense he is showing interest in the things I care about. Showing interest in things I care about, that's kind of similar to the last one, but I don't know. I think I have to go with kissing because I really feel like in a romantic relationship, if I'm not getting a lot of affection, then it just feels off and incomplete to me. Because I feel like that's the one area where it's different. Like, I can get all of these other things. I can, you know, like, I can feel love in so many other ways from my friends and my family. But I'm only going to be, like, physical and intimate. And especially, I'm not, like, an affectionate person, as I've shared in previous episodes. So I'm only going to be, like, physically affectionate with my romantic partner. So that, to me, like, that has to be there and play a big part. Otherwise, it just doesn't feel like a relationship to me. Number 17, it's more meaningful to me when my loved one works on special projects with me that I have to complete or he gives me an exciting gift. Definitely work on a project with me. Number 18, it's more meaningful to me when he compliments me on my appearance or he takes the time to listen to me and really understand my feelings. Definitely listen and understand my feelings. Like, I mean, yeah, being complimented on your appearance is nice, but like, bitch, I already know I look good. I don't need you to tell me. Number 19, it's more meaningful to me when we share non-sexual touch in public or he offers to run errands for me. God, that's so tough. I don't know. Offering to run errands is so nice and sweet. It's like I said before, like, offering to do those kinds of things really shows me, like, oh, you love me. Because, like, anybody can be physical, even if they don't really care about you. But, like I also said, at the end of the day, like, I do need that. So if that was lacking, I think that would upset me more so than not running errands. Because, like, the running errands is really nice, and it's like, oh, wow. But the touch, like, that's just a basic necessity, I feel like. Number 20, it's more meaningful to me when he does a bit more than his normal share of the responsibilities we share around the house, work-related, etc., or I get a gift that I know he put thought into choosing. You already know. You already know what I'm going to say. Doing more responsibilities. Number 21. It's more meaningful to me when he doesn't check his phone while we're talking, or he goes out of his way to do something that relieves pressure on me. Ooh. If we're talking and somebody's checking their phone, that is just so rude. That's like, what the hell? Okay, I'm gonna go with the second one just because I feel like checking your phone while someone's talking to you, like, I mean, if we're having a serious conversation, if we're just chatting and like just whatever, like, then that's fine. I don't really care if you're like, you know what I mean. Number 22, it's more meaningful to me when I can look forward to a holiday because of a gift I anticipate receiving, or I hear the words, I appreciate you from him. Definitely, I appreciate you. I don't really care about gifts, as we've already established, because, and I've, even like with family, I don't feel that way. I think I'm a hard person to shop for, because if there's something I want, I'll get it myself. Number 23, it's more meaningful to me when he brings me a little gift after he has been traveling without me, or he takes care of something I'm responsible to do, but I feel too stressed to do at the time. Definitely the second one. Number 24, it's more meaningful to me when he doesn't interrupt me while I'm talking, or gift giving is an important part of our relationship. No, I don't care. Honestly, I don't really care about either one because, I mean, I don't know. I guess if it's like a really heated conversation, but I feel like I interrupt a lot when I'm in a conversation. And to me, I think it's a Gemini thing. Like, that to me doesn't seem rude because it's like we're both just really engaged in the conversation and we're both excited to share. But I mean, I guess that's more important, like really listening to what I'm saying and not trying to talk over me. Definitely more important than gift giving. Number 25, it's more meaningful to me when he helps me out when he knows I'm already tired, or I get to go somewhere while spending time with him. This is so hard because obviously like spending time together is big and important and I want to spend time with my partner. But I think I'm going to go with the first one. Number 26, it's more meaningful to me when he and I are physically intimate, or he gives me a little gift that he picked up in the course of his normal day. Obviously the first one, you already know. Number 27, it's more meaningful to me when he says something encouraging to me, or I get to spend time in a shared activity or hobby with him. Definitely the second one, spending time. Number 28, it's more meaningful to me when he surprises me with a small token of his appreciation, or he and I touch a lot during the normal course of the day. Definitely touching throughout the day. Because, I don't know, to me, like, that also just feels like the more we're just touching, like, even just, like, simple things. Like, not even sexual, but just simple, like, you put your hand on my leg. Or, like, when, you know, when we're in the car, you put your hand on my leg. You hold my hand. Forehead kisses. Like, you, as you're walking past me in the kitchen, you like touch my back, like little things like that, just little touch. Like that to me feels like we're in a good place. Like we're really happy. Things are good, you know, like, cause it just, when it feels natural that you want to touch the other person, like to me, that just signifies like we're in a good place. Things are good. We're in love. Number 29, it's more meaningful to me when he helps me out, especially if I know he's already busy, or I hear him specifically tell me, I appreciate you. Helping out, definitely. Because same thing, like I said earlier, it's like actions over words. And then number 30, it's more meaningful to me when he and I embrace after we've been apart for a while, or I hear him say how much I mean to him. Number 2 is, it's like nice to have, but number 1 is like, is a must have. Okay, so I got all of my responses. So let me add everything up. Okay, I have my letters all added up. So A is words of affirmation. I only had two for that. B is quality time. I had six for that. C is receiving gifts. I only had one for that. D is acts of service. I had 11 for that. And E is physical touch. I had 10 for that one. That is really interesting. So this time around, acts of service is my number one love language, followed very closely by physical touch. And then quality time is actually pretty low. So I remember the first time I did this, physical touch was like the highest for me. And then in second place, acts of service and quality time were pretty tied. So it is interesting how being in a different place in life, in a different headspace, being single, I ended up with a slightly different result. And that's not to say like, oh, you find out what your love language is and then the rest of them don't matter at all. Like normally, I think it even says it in the book, like a really healthy, well-balanced relationship should include all of these things, but your main love language is like the number one most important thing, obviously. And if that's missing in your relationship, if you feel like your partner is not, you know, expressing those things, speaking your love language, then that's when you are probably going to run into some problems. And then in the book here, for each love language, it tells you what you can do if it's your partner's love language. And I love that. So if your partner's love language is words of affirmation, it says to remind yourself that words of affirmation is your spouse's primary love language, print the following on a card and put it on a mirror or other place where you will see it daily. Words are important. Words are important. Words are important. For 1 week, keep a written record of all the words of affirmation you give your spouse each day. You might be surprised how well or how poorly you're speaking words of affirmation. Set a goal to give your spouse a different compliment each day for 1 month. If an apple a day keeps the doctor away, maybe a compliment a day will keep the counselor away. You may want to record these compliments also so you will not duplicate the statements. Learn to say I love you or other expressions of affirmation in a couple of different languages. Compliment your spouse in the presence of his parents or friends. You will get double credit. Your spouse will feel loved and the parents will feel lucky to have such a great son-in-law or daughter-in-law. Look for your spouse's strengths and tell her how much you appreciate those strengths. Be specific. I like how you reach out to people at church who don't seem to have anyone to talk to. Or, you're really keeping up with the job search. I know it'll pay off. Occasionally email or text a note of affirmation during the day or when one of you is traveling. Or if you know your spouse is having a hard day, send a link to a funny website. Thank your mate for something they do routinely and won't expect to be complimented for. If your spouse's love language is quality time, some couples are together a lot more than others. If that's the case for you, don't try to make all your time together quality time. Designate specific times and places for planned togetherness. Ask your spouse for a list of 5 activities that he would enjoy doing with you. Don't assume you know. Make plans to do one of them each month for the next 5 months. If money is an issue, space the freebies between the we can't afford this events. One way to share quality time at a distance is to include your spouse in your day as it is happening. Send a photo of something you saw on your walk to the office or relay a funny incident that happened in a meeting. One woman said, "My husband sent a photo of him, my daughter, and the dog sitting on our front porch. I was at work and it made me feel like I was hanging out with them." Think of an activity your spouse enjoys, but which brings little pleasure to you. For example, football, crafting, nature photography. Tell your spouse that you are trying to broaden your horizons and would like to join them in this activity sometime this month. Set a date and give it your best effort. Plan a weekend getaway just for the two of you sometime within the next 6 months. Be sure it is a weekend when you won't have to be in touch with the office or have a family commitment. Focus on relaxing together, doing what one or both of you enjoy. Make time every day to share with each other some of the events of the day. When you spend more time watching the news than you do listening to each other, you end up more concerned about the Middle East than about your spouse. Or when you spend more time on Facebook than you do listening to each other, you end up more concerned about your hundreds of friends than about your spouse. You have to do chores anyway, so talk as you dust, declutter, and do laundry. It will make the work go much faster. Read the travel section in the Sunday paper together and dream out loud about places you'd like to go. Whether you actually go to these places or not, it's fun to imagine together. Read the travel section in the Sunday paper. Like, can you tell that this guy is a little old or what? But, I mean, you get the idea. Like, even if the specific examples are a little, like, not relatable or maybe, like, kind of outdated or not realistic, but the general concept, I think, is still very much relevant. If your spouse's love language is receiving gifts, you've heard of the 12 days of Christmas. How about 12 days of gifts for your spouse's birthday or your wedding anniversary? Let nature be your guide. The next time you take a walk through the neighborhood, keep your eyes open for a gift for your spouse. It may be a stone, a stick, or a feather. You may even attach special meaning to your natural gift. For example, a smooth stone may symbolize your marriage with many of the rough places now polished. A feather may symbolize how your spouse is the wind beneath your wings. That is so corny and weird. I'm just thinking, like, because gift giving is not my love language, as we've determined, I'm like, could you imagine if my partner, like, comes home after going on a walk and they're like, here, I got you this rock. I'd be like, what the like, okay, can you put it back outside? Like, what the fuck? What am I supposed to do with this? Discover the value of handmade originals. Make a gift for your spouse. This may require you to enroll in an art or crafts class, ceramic, scrapbooking, painting, wood carving. Your main purpose for enrolling is to make your spouse a gift. A handmade gift often becomes a family heirloom. Oh my God, I can't talk. When money is tight, think of appropriate symbolic gifts. Look at pictures of beautiful houses and daydream about what kind of house you would have if money were no object. Instead of plane tickets, go on a flight of fantasy to Dubai or Sydney. Keep a gift idea notebook. Every time you hear your spouse say, I really like that, or, oh, I would really like to have one of those, write it down in your notebook. How many of us have had the experience of asking someone what they want for their birthday or Christmas and getting the response, oh, I don't know. Listen carefully and you will get quite a list. This will serve as a guide when you get ready to select a gift. To prime the pump, you may look through a favorite online shopping site together. Enlist a personal shopper. If you really don't have a clue as to how to select a gift for your spouse, ask a friend or family member who knows your wife or husband well to help you. Most people enjoy making a friend happy by getting them a gift, especially if it's with your money. Offer the gift of presents during an especially hard time in your spouse's life. Perhaps if he's caring for an elderly parent or she's dealing with a job crisis. Give your spouse a book and agree to read it yourself. Then offer to discuss together a chapter each week. Don't choose a book that you want him or her to read. Choose a book on a topic in which you know your spouse has an interest. Sex, football, gourmet cuisine, investing, child rearing, religion, history. Give a lasting tribute. Give a gift to your spouse's favorite charity in honor of her birthday, your anniversary, or another occasion. Ask the charity to send a card informing your spouse of what you have done. The church or charity will be excited, and so will your spouse. Interesting. That all sounds a little strange to me because, like, I just can't really relate to that. But if your spouse's love language is act of service, consider, and apparently this one is mine now, so consider serving someone or something your spouse loves. An older relative, caring attentively for a pet, a favorite cause. Print note cards with the following. Today, I will show my love for you by ... Complete the sentence with a task you know your spouse would love you to do. Picking up the clutter, taking old clothes to a thrift store, fixing something that's been broken a long time, weeding the garden. Bonus points if it's a chore that's been put off. Ask your spouse to make a list of 10 things he or she would like for you to do during the next month. Then ask your spouse to prioritize those by numbering them 1 through 10, with 1 being the most important and 10 being least important. Use this list to plan your strategy for a month of love. While your spouse is away, get the children to help you with some acts of service for him. When he walks in the door, join the children in shouting, "Surprise, we love you," then share your act of service. If your requests to your mate come across as nags or put-downs, try writing them in words that would be less offensive to them. Share this revised wording with your spouse. For example, "The yard always looks so nice and I really appreciate your work. I'd love to thank you in advance for mowing the lawn this week before Paul and Amy come over for dinner." Your husband might even respond, "Where's the lawnmower? I can't wait. Try it and see." That's really funny. I'd like to thank you in advance. I'm going to start using that on everyone. It like almost sounds kind of manipulative. If you have more money than time, hire someone to do the acts of service that neither of you wants to do, such as yard work or once a month deep cleaning of your home. Run interference for your spouse during his or her favorite TV show or important sports event. Take care of all the phone calls, kid emergencies, and so on. I feel like, I don't know. Those examples are like a little bit weird, but yeah, I mean, hey, some ideas. And then lastly, if your spouse's love language is physical touch, as you walk from the car to go shopping, reach out and hold your spouse's hand. Yes. When you shop for your spouse, look for things that will appeal to their tactile nature. A cashmere sweater, a plush throw pillow, soft slippers. Walk up to your spouse and say, "Have I told you lately that I love you?" Take her in your arms and hug her while you rub her back and continue, "You're the best." Untangle yourself and move on to the next thing. When you sit together in church, reach over and hold your spouse's hand during times of prayer. Sit together in church. Okay. Or like if you're in the car together. I love that. When I get to be passenger princess, the guy reaches over and like puts their hand on my thigh or like hold my hand while they're driving. So cute. Initiate sex by giving your spouse a foot massage. Continue to other parts of the body as long as it brings pleasure to your spouse. When family or friends are visiting, touch your spouse in their presence. A hug, running your hand along his or her arm, putting your arm around him as you stand talking, or simply placing your hand on her shoulder can earn double emotional points. It says, "Even with all these people in our house, I still see you." I totally agree. I love that. Couples separated by circumstances such as deployment use a variety of strategies to touch when they cannot be physically together, says author and former military wife Jocelyn Green. For example, a handwritten letter feels more tangible than an email. Some wives will wear an old shirt of their husband's around the house. One wife said, "I feel like he's hugging me when I wear his shirt." Sending a photo of yourself gives your spouse something of you to touch. Huh, that's a good idea. I never even thought about that. Like, physical touch is obviously very important to me and one of my main love languages. I'm always back and forth. Like, I don't know. Physical touch, acts of service, they're both really important to me. But I've been in a long distance relationship, or like one of my relationships, we were long distance for a portion of it at times. And that was really hard to not be able to be together. So yeah, that's interesting. So I highly encourage you guys to take the quiz yourself, have your partner do it, have your family, your friends do it. And let me know if you're watching the video version on YouTube, leave a comment and let me know what your love language is. And if you are in a relationship, let me know what your partner's love language is as well. It can definitely be a little tricky when you don't speak the same love language. Like if I was with someone that their love language was gift giving, I'd be screwed. Like I would have a really hard time. But yeah, I hope that you guys enjoyed this episode and found it interesting. I will be back next week with Julia for a normal episode. But until then, I will TTYL.